Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Resilient Leadership Podcast, where everything we talk about is aimed at helping you lead with a greater sense of calm, clarity, and conviction, even in anxious times. And we are in anxious times, God knows. And my name is Irvin Nugent, and today, as always, I'm joined by my co-host and collaborator and dear friend, Bridget Tyer. Bridget, how are you today?
I'm good, Irvin. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
And nice to be having this conversation with you today. It's a very interesting topic. Mm. One that we have touched on before, but today, boy, do we have some great examples to share with our listeners. So without further ado, Irvin, tell them what's on tap.
You know, there's always trends in leadership. There are kind of topics that rise to the top and it becomes their moment in spotlight. And one topic that I have noticed time and time again coming to the surface is empathy and the need for empathy. And I remember even a few years ago, I was part of a training that was about empathy and police forces. You know, and it was like, so everyone needs empathy. And, you know, you go to the internet now and there's thousands of articles about how important empathy is for leadership. And there's books there, The Empathetic Leader. And, you know, it's a given, you know, like it's like criticizing apple pie, you know, it's empathy and leadership. It's like dog, right. Of course. And today we want to look at that and maybe shine a different or look for it with a different lens that empathy isn't always good. And that empathy sometimes has a dark side, which we call the empathy trap. I want to explore this with you, this nuance that perhaps, you know, we have to be careful that it isn't too much empathy actually isn't a good thing. So I'm just curious, Bridget, have you seen this trend in leadership of this connection of how leaders have to be empathetic if they're going to be impactful?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's a fairly recent trend. I mean, it's been going on for a few years, but it wasn't always this way, right? So I like how you said, you know, there's this time when like a certain leadership topic will be the topic du jour for a while, right?
Yeah.
And you know you're onto something when somebody writes a counter narrative, as Paul Bloom did, who wrote Against Empathy.
Yes.
And he got hate mail.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Savage.
Yeah.
Savaged he was. Yes.
It's about how empathy can get in our way. We here at the Resilient Leadership Podcast know that empathy is an important, essential element of good leadership. And yet, it has a shadow side.
Yeah.
And so, Irvin, why don't you share with our listeners what that shadow side is?
Yeah, it's such a great point. So we have referred time and time again to a man called Ed Friedman. And of course, Ed Friedman was one of the first people to take up the work of Murray Bowen and to reflect upon its aspect as shown in leadership. He had this radical idea back in the 60s, you know, of the fallacy. He called it the fallacy of empathy. And he really was one of the first people, long before it became the du jour, you know, kind of like empathy, of really calling empathy into question. He was suspicious of it. And he said, it just, you know, for it to be the be end and end all of leadership, it caused controversy back then. And you've just mentioned Paul Bloom. He recently wrote a book called Against Empathy. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh my God, how can you be against empathy? And of course, the book is more nuanced than that. He's not saying that empathy, you know, I'm not totally against empathy, but he's really about trying to get at what we are as well, that there is a dark side here. Empathy isn't all good at times. And so first of all, let's just clear this up. First of all, there is a natural goodness about empathy. Empathy is this ability to feel, to understand the emotions of others and to sense those feelings and emotions, even when, you know, they're not being explicitly conveyed. And why is that important? It's important because, you know, it builds up trust. It builds connection. There's bonding, shared care. I care about you. I feel, you know, what you're going through. You can think about relationships need empathy. If we didn't have empathy, marriages wouldn't last very long. Friendships, you know, wouldn't last very long. And leadership is built upon trust as well. So there's an element of empathy that helps people be seen and be heard. And it's a powerful human need. That's a given. And that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is sometimes empathy can be so strong, so felt, that it interferes with our ability to think clearly, to think objectively about perhaps an employee, an employee's performance. It can impact our decision-making, especially when those decisions can negatively impact others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of Paul Bloom, we just talked about it, you know, Paul Bloom says that empathy actually creates biases, because if we begin to feel for a person and we're walking in their shoes and we become overly empathetic with them, we're biased towards them. We lose a little bit of that objectivity. And so therefore, we become more susceptible to anxieties and moods. And that, you know, really contributes to burnout because we're carrying. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting, Bridget. I am giving someone feedback on their 360, and it's an EQI 360, emotional intelligence 360. And one of the things it measures is empathy.
Yeah.
And their empathy is out the roof. It's so high.
Wow.
And so I said to him, how does it feel giving feedback? And he just said, oh, he said, it's such a burden. He said, I worry, I fret about it. I don't know, at times, you know, what if I say upsets people? And you could just feel this burden that he felt, you know? And so empathy, you're looking at your work and say, oh my God, this person is amazing. Their empathy is out with the, it's wonderful. And here's the dark side. Yeah. So yeah. Bridget, want to add anything to that, you know, about perhaps the dark side of empathy?
Well, I mean, I want to underscore one of the things you said, which is that those of us who have strong empathy are more susceptible to being infected by the emotions and anxieties of others. So if nothing else, part of the shadow side of empathy for leaders is, can you establish, can you find a way to have appropriate boundaries and distance, right? Because you will burn out. You will feel so keenly, as your client does, right? For others, which is a beautiful thing, but definitely I think contributes to burnout. But I think an interesting study that we can share with listeners done by Korn Ferry really helps us understand this in a leadership context, right? So they researched the topic of empathy with 2,000 managers, I think was the number. And they were really looking at a group of executives who were highly engaged and highly effective, contrasting to a group of executives who were not very engaged and not very effective. And they were looking at their scores on a number of leadership behaviors, many of them EQ related. And do you know, Irvin, that the only thing that the two groups had in common was empathy? The low engaged group and the high engaged group, the only commonality they had was they both had high levels of empathy. But here's the difference. In the low engaged group, their empathy, their ability to sense emotions, right, to feel for others, while high, was not accompanied by other balancing EQ skills. And so, yes, they could sense emotions and they could appreciate and understand other people's feelings, but they didn't have great self-regulation.
Yeah.
They didn't really necessarily have the ability to confront and hold people accountable. Yeah. Maybe their self-awareness was low and they had blind spots. Bottom line is that group, even though they had high empathy, were not particularly effective and tended to leak their emotions and anxieties onto others and weren't rated high in terms of emotional stability.
Yeah.
So the way they bottom line this research is empathy is an asset only if it is accompanied by other EQ skills that help to balance it.
Yeah. That's such a great insight, because I think at times, you know, the common thinking about empathy is that empathy is soft and cuddly and it's warm and in my warm embrace of empathy. And yet, just even like our last topic was about giving tough feedback. One of the ways we show empathy to a person is to really care about them and offer them at times some tough criticism in the spirit of their growth. We used a story there of Sheryl Sandberg, you know, who gave kind of very direct, but she was very empathetic because she sensed this. So it's this misunderstanding that really good empathy also includes great boundaries and the ability to make tough decisions. Yeah,
absolutely. And without that balance,
yeah, right,
then the empathy, as you've so, you know, clearly identified, is no longer really an asset. It's a liability. All right, Irvin. So I'm wondering, from the perspective of a great example or a story to tell, what might you share with listeners?
So I want to share, first of all, a little bit of that dark side. And of course, now, you know, we can point to leaders and why leaders fail or what happened. And of course, there's a multitude of different reasons. But I just think that there's an example I want to bring up that really points to some of this. And the example is from a man called Adam Neumann, who was the founder of WeWork. And, you know, WeWork places were thriving. They were all over the place, you know, and they really came at the proper time of people wanting to share community. And WeWork was founded in 2010. By 2019, like 9 years later, they had 528 locations. I mean, talk about growth.
Wow, that's a lot.
29 countries. It was said to have a private valuation of about $47 billion. So on the surface,
darn,
this is amazing success. And yet, it didn't go public and the company failed. Why? Well, I want to point to a few things that came up in his style of leadership, and really which I think shows some of the empathy trap. Now, it's really interesting. He self-proclaimed his leadership style as boundary-free, which, you know, we've talked about, you know, that without boundaries, you know, and empathy, et cetera. So where does boundary-free leadership go? I want to, you know, talk about this tension in his leadership that was experienced between personal relationships and professional standards. And it's very often that's where some of these boundaries begin to fade. And so, you know, first of all, his wife, Rebecca, she was the chief brand officer, even though she had very limited business experience. And he started bringing on board childhood friends into executive positions, giving them really nice compensation packages. Ooh. And of course, needless to say, these are not very experienced people in the roles. Performance issues started to come up. And what Neumann did was he refused to implement accountability. And so there seemed to be like these two tiered standards, one for employees and one for these people. Mm-hmm. Now, why did he not do that? I don't know if we can get into his mindset, but I think part of that is clearly an inability to confront, an inability to really to give, you know, that tough feedback and over kind of empathizing with these people. So that's the first thing. The second thing was vision. And so kind of this rapid expansion, this inability to hear anything contrary. And one of the things that he would say, you know, he said, well, I have a feeling that this is going to work out, you know, and so I trust my feelings, you know, and instead of here's the hard data, this inability as well to listen to the feelings. And then the final thing was this culture that was built at WeWork, which employees would talk about. And one of the things that they had was they had a thing called Thank God It's Monday, which really it was this pressure, this expectation that you would socialize even beyond hours. And what happened was employees talked about it became really difficult to differentiate between professional work requirements and personal loyalty.
Huh.
And so this personal loyalty became part of this mantra. And so this belief in community and empathy, you know, when people say on the surface, this is great, this is wonderful, what a great culture. Really, it became detrimental. It wasn't balanced. There was no boundaries. The poor decisions were made. I think it's a great example of when empathy goes awry and there's no clear governance, there's no clear structures, there's no clear financial discipline. Mm. What happens is that organizations begin to crumble. And this is what happened. WeWork never went public because of this internal strife, and it brought down the company.
You know, Ed Freeman would have loved that example.
Mm, yeah.
I can almost imagine as soon as he would hear the person's leadership style of boundary-free leadership,
yeah,
Ed Freeman would go, oh boy, yeah, there's a problem. Because of course, we've talked about the importance of maintaining our integrity, right, with boundaries.
Yeah.
And that organizations need boundaries to maintain their integrity. And that's what just stood out to me so much by this story. It's you know, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's a great example of while initially it may be very successful, in the long term, it's going to come back and bite you. That this sense of this need for regulation, this need for boundaries, this need for empathy to be regulated.
Very, very interesting. I remember going to a WeWork space, you know, years ago. And I guess maybe that was in its heyday, and thinking, wow, this is really cool. You know, this is a neat concept, but fascinating.
Yeah. So that's a bit of the dark side. I think also, Bridget, do you have an example perhaps that really where a leader got it right, where there kind of was a balance between the proper display of empathy and it not being corrosive to the culture?
Yeah, that's such a good way to put it. The proper balance to where it connects people and builds trust, but isn't corrosive to the culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I have such an amazing example that I'm inspired by, and I hope our listeners are too. And so this is Mary Barra. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. And she was the CEO of General Motors during a crisis that was quite significant. And so in, I believe it was 2014, she took over as CEO of General Motors, and she inherited a company that had some deep-rooted cultural issues that had been festering. All right. So there were some fault lines already there. And then within, I think, only weeks of her taking this job, GM was forced to recall 2.6 million vehicles.
Wow.
For faulty ignition switches. And here's what would happen. They would just turn off while you're driving.
Wow.
And then you no longer could control your brakes or your steering.
Oof.
And there were no airbags. So you can imagine this caused a number of accidents. And it was linked to at least 124 deaths and 275 injuries. And here is the most devastating part of this. Was the revelation that GM engineers, some of them, knew about the problem for over a decade and didn't take action.
Wow.
I mean, that just hurts, right? Okay, now, but here's where the story is so inspiring. It's how did she respond as a new CEO to this crisis? And I'm just really impressed. So number one, public accountability. You know, instead of what would I think be the natural thing is to kind of hide behind PR professionals.
Yeah.
She personally testified before Congress herself. And she said, I'm not afraid of the truth. And she refused to deflect responsibility to previous leadership. She took accountability, even though it didn't happen on her watch, meaning the problem didn't get laid on her watch, right? It just surfaced when she was there. And then here's where the empathy comes in. Victim recognition. She spent time personally meeting with families of victims, listening deeply to their stories and being present to their grief.
Mm.
I mean, that's where empathy is so potent and powerful, right? And in one meeting, she sat with the parents of children who had died in an accident caused by the defect. And she later commented that those conversations fundamentally changed her as a leader. You know, changed her view of safety. And so what a, I don't know, that just, you know, something. And then she took action and she didn't wait. She dismissed 15 employees within months of this whole thing happening. And these were some high-ranking executives who had participated in the cover-up, right? And this is a was a real departure from GM culturally, right? They didn't hold people accountable. So think about that right there. Irvin, isn't that such an amazing balance?
Love it. That's crazy, you know? I love the action. So sometimes we'll compare empathy and compassion. And one of the things that happens is, you know, that compassion is the feeling, but with the action.
Yes.
So I'm not going to dwell. I'm not going to stew in this. I'm acting, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really important distinction there, because compassion builds on empathy, but it includes thoughtful action.
Yeah.
And boy, did she take it.
Mm,
and then there's one other thing that really just impresses me is that they ended up waiving legal protection. So GM agreed to compensate victims, even though many of their claims had technically expired under a bankruptcy protection rule back in 2009 when GM did some restructuring. She made the difficult decision to waive that.
Mm-hmm.
And told stakeholders, yep, this is going to, in the short term, hurt us, but in the long term, it's going to protect our integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, that example is really brings it home where we are bringing the very best of empathy as a leader to a situation and balancing that at the same time with personal and collective accountability, as well as taking a stand for values, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And you know, it's so clear there because you could see how there would be many situations there which would be empathy traps. It could be so easy to be over-empathetic, say, to some of the people we need to fire. It would be, you know, over-empathetic. And yet, and she was this balance of so often empathy prevents us from making objective decisions. And she, you know, had that incredible balance, which is so hard to see at times. Yeah.
It really is. So that inspired me. And I hope the story inspires our listeners too. Some of you are probably like Irvin and I, you know, have empathy running through your veins. Mm. I mean, Irvin, is that true of you? Would you say?
Yeah, it is. I would certainly side on the empathy side. I find it very easy to empathize with people. I can get very emotionally. It's exhausting at times. I can remember in previous work, I had to fire people, and that was, I dreaded it. It was just a horrible experience because I begin to, you know, really think about the consequences. I'm overly emotionally tied to people. So it's tough. And I think there are people who naturally, and I think that's the struggle for us. There's also a struggle for people who don't come to empathy naturally.
That's right.
Because their struggle is the people like, well, they don't, you, do they really care? You know? So in other words, you have to, yeah, it's that balance, you know,
yes.
I care enough and I'm offering this out of care. And yet I don't care too much that I'm paralyzed.
Yeah. Because in the example that we just shared, you could imagine somebody who was like, okay, I'm firing these people and I'm holding everybody accountable, but who never met with the victims' families, right?
Yeah.
And who didn't waive the legal fees and who
Correct.
Didn't really understand and sense the deep, deep grief and loss here. So
yeah,
when we get it right, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
To our listeners, if you want to learn more about this, we got a bunch of different resources. We did a podcast earlier on this where you could listen to that and do a deeper dive. We have a chapter on avoiding the empathy trap in the book, Resilient Leadership 2.0, if you want to read more about it. Irvin, as always, I learned something new. Thank you for this conversation today.
Likewise. And a great conversation. And hopefully we've given some food for thought for people as they explore the world of empathy. And the next time they hear an article or see an article about leadership and empathy, hopefully we've given you a little nuance for you to maybe listen critically or read critically as well. So Bridget, I look forward to the next episode. And until then, thank you everyone for listening in.
Take care, folks.